The words of God given to us today are Acts 28, verses 11 to 14. It is page 236 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. Amen. Today's text, which reveals Paul's journey from Malta Island to Rome, ends like this in the latter part of verse 14. And so we came to Rome. The text places a special emphasis on the adverb so. During the past 4 weeks, we have applied this adverb so to all of Paul's life and reviewed how God led Paul to arrive at Rome while looking at maps. Today is the last session of our review. Today, too, I will sit as I speak so that I do not block the map. The Paul left Caesarea for a dangerous journey to Jerusalem that everyone opposed with their tears, a journey on which he had to stake his life. The land height of Caesarea, which was a port city, was the same as the sea level. On the other hand, Jerusalem was at a higher plain, which was 800 meters above the sea level. Therefore, the way to Jerusalem from Caesarea, which was about 100 kilometers, was uphill all the way. For Paul, who was old and was near the last stage of his life, the uphill way that would have taken at least 5 days' walk must have been very wearing. But Paul walked and walked up that uphill road, sleeping on the road when the nights came, in order to suffer the hardships and imprisonment at Jerusalem for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus. It was definitely not a pleasant or a fun journey. It was a journey that may have caused Paul's eyes to tear up as he, an old man, continued on with heaviness of breath. But Paul continued to climb up that road because that's what faith is. Faith is not going the way one wants to go, but going the way one should go, even with tears. This is why only the way of faith leads to resurrection. Paul, having arrived at Jerusalem, met with Apostle James, who was the head of the early church, and the elders, and reported to them about his third mission journey. And at the Temple of Jerusalem, he assisted those who dedicated themselves as Nazarites and underwent purification. At that time, there happened to be Jews who came to visit the temple from Ephesus. Now, these were Jews who wanted to get rid of Paul in Ephesus when Paul preached the gospel there. As soon as they saw Paul at the temple, they incited the Jews at the temple by claiming that Paul had lured Gentiles into the temple and had made it unclean. If this were true, Paul deserved to have been stoned to death along with these Gentiles. But these were false accusations. However, although they were false, they spread throughout Jerusalem in a matter of minutes. Jews of Jerusalem didn't even try to see whether the charges were true or false. They were overcome by blind rage, rushed to the temple of Jerusalem. They took hold of Paul, dragged him outside of the temple, and this was to stone Paul to death as he had desecrated the temple. At that time, Roman soldiers were stationed at the Fort of Antonia, which was located to the northwest of Jerusalem. And from the Fort of Antonia, one could look down on the Temple of Jerusalem. Further, the middle steps of the fort were connected to the outer courtyard of the temple so that if something happened at the temple, the soldiers could get there without any delay. When the centurion Lysias heard that a commotion had broken out at the temple, he rushed over to the temple with his soldiers. When he got there, Paul was being beaten up by the Jews. The centurion confused Paul with an Egyptian who had stirred up an uprising and had run away to the desert with 4,000 swordsmen. The centurion ordered his soldiers to bind up Paul in iron chains and bring him to the fort in order to question him. In a way, from the perspective of the Jews who wanted to stone Paul to death, a heinous criminal who had desecrated a temple, suddenly they lost him to the centurion. Jews who were still outraged continued to assault Paul as he was being taken away by the Roman soldiers. And Paul, who was in iron chains, fell down to the ground. The soldiers took up Paul, who had fallen down, and carried him up the steps towards the fort. When Paul recovered on the top of the steps, Paul started to defend himself with the permission of the centurion to the Jews who were still screaming out charges against him beneath the steps. But the Jews refused to listen to Paul's argument that Jesus, whom Jews had put to death by nailing him on the cross, is the Messiah. When Jews showed signs of starting a commotion again, the centurion ordered the soldiers to bring Paul inside the fort. And he ordered them to interrogate Paul as to what he had done wrong to the Jews by flogging him. However, the flogging of Paul was put to a stop before it began because Paul revealed that he was a Roman citizen. And that night, Paul had to be shut up in prison at the Roman fort. The next day, in order to find out why the Jews were petitioning to kill Paul, Centurion Lysias convened a Sanhedrin council, which is the highest decision-making body among the Jews. But the Sadducees and Pharisees broke out in a fierce fight, even bodily pushing one another over Paul, who mentioned resurrection. And Paul's life seemed to be in danger. The centurion ordered his subordinates to get Paul out of the place in a hurry and retreated to the fort. Paul spent that night too in a prison at the Fort of Antonia. Now Paul traveled to Jerusalem, although it was a journey everyone opposed with tears. And although he knew that it was a way where imprisonment and hardships were waiting for him, he did so solely for the sake of the name of Lord Jesus. And at Jerusalem, he faced false accusations. He was beaten up. He was falsely charged, bounded up in iron chains. and now was shut up in a prison at a Roman fort. He suffered all these solely for one reason, for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus. If so, then, would Jesus just leave Paul to suffer being shackled in prison for the sake of his name, as Jesus had foretold? That night, the Lord spoke personally to Paul, who was confined to a prison of Roman army alone. Take courage. This was the first word that the Lord spoke to Paul in prison. What is the meaning of these words? It means that Paul was fearful that night. He knew that imprisonment and hardships were waiting for him in the way, but when he actually faced being beaten up because of false accusations and being prosecuted, bound up in chains, and being shut up alone in a prison in Roman fort, why wouldn't he not be afraid? But with the words of the Lord for him to take courage, Paul was able to shake off all of his fears. Only the words of the Lord is a true source of our courage. Alone, by ourselves, this world is a scary place. But because the Lord who tells us to take courage, who holds our hands, is with us, we can overcome all fears in this world. The spirituality of Christians is in focusing on that voice of the Lord and holding on to his hands. Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. The Lord was telling Paul that as he testified about the Lord in Jerusalem, he would also have to testify about the Lord in Rome. The reason that the Lord allowed Paul to be bounded up and be imprisoned in Jerusalem was to send Paul to Rome, the capital of the empire. Hardships of robes and imprisonment, this was the method of the Lord to send Paul to Rome. Is your life suffering hardships of robes and imprisonment in some sense? Are you losing things that are like gold to you because of these hardships of robes and imprisonments? Let's not forget. The things that appear to be like gold, these things are not for me. Rather, they will become my downfall. And so the Lord has allowed me to avoid them. By suffering hardships of robes and imprisonment in the Lord, the new opportunity which the Lord wants to give me is coming into my life now, second by second. This is the faith of Christian. The outcome of a life of a person who believes this and who cannot believe this can never be the same. The next day, the 40 Jews who swore not to eat or drink before killing Paul organized a band of assassins. The centurion, who learned of the Jewish assassins, decided to guard Paul's life, who was a Roman citizen. And in order to protect him, he decided to send Paul to Felix, who was the proconsul of Caesarea, in the middle of the night. And he enlisted 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearsmen, even got a horse for Paul to travel on. So in order to protect Paul from the assassins, he had enlisted 470 Roman soldiers who were reputed to be invincible. So Paul went down the difficult path that he had climbed to get to Jerusalem, and at this time on a horseback, with the 470 Roman soldiers as his guards. The Jews of Jerusalem only found out the next day that the centurion had sent Paul to Caesarea. But they were not the kind of people who would give up because of that. The leaders of Judaic faith went to see Felix all the way to Caesarea and brought charges against Paul. Their charges were, of course, all false, this time around too, and Paul defended himself at the court of the proconsul. Now, Felix was a representative of a corrupt official. He expected a payoff from Paul. But when it was not forthcoming at all and Paul did not respond, he let Paul stay in prison for no less than 2 years. The hardships of robes and imprisonment of Jerusalem had continued for Paul in Caesarea. 2 years later, Festus became the new proconsul. Then the leaders of the Judaic faith came down to Caesarea and brought charges against Paul again and petitioned to have Paul's trial be moved to Jerusalem. This was in order to assassinate Paul by ordering the assassins to kill him on his way to Jerusalem, as they had concluded that it would be difficult to put Paul to death through a formal trial. Now, the leaders of the Judaic faith and the members of the assassins, they were all Jews who believed in God. But although 2 years had passed, there was not even a minute change in the way they acted or spoke. Now, faith is having our lives changed every day with the words of the Lord. What about us? Compared to 2 years ago, to what extent have our lives become renewed? Isn't it perhaps the case that, like those Jewish people who were so obsessed with killing Paul, there is no change in our lives at all compared to 2 years ago? In faith life, staying the same means regressing. If there hasn't been any progress in our lives despite the past 2 years of our faith life, then it means we wasted 2 years. And so it means our lives have regressed by the span of those 2 years. Regression is something that we must avoid in our journey of life, which is finite. Now, Proconsul Festus asked Paul whether he would be willing to go up to Jerusalem with him to be tried. But Paul, who discerned the true intent of the Judaic leaders, refused the offer and rather filed an appeal to the Roman emperor as a Roman citizen. Now, here was the providence of the Lord in allowing Paul to face ropes and imprisonment for no less than 2 years in Caesarea. If the previous proconsul Felix had found Paul innocent and freed him immediately, Paul would have been knifed to death by the assassins the minute he was released from the prison. But Felix, a corrupt official, neglected Paul in prison for 2 years for the reason that Paul didn't offer him a bribe. For Paul, those 2 years would have been frustrating and painful, yet another. But because of such long, frustrating, and painful period of hardship, Paul was able to think of an appeal to the Roman emperor when the Jews tried to change the place of his trial to Jerusalem. A Roman citizen who appealed to the Roman emperor had to be safely escorted by the Roman Empire until the person stood at the court of the emperor. The Paul made an appeal to the emperor, although he had not breached any Roman law, not because he was thoughtless or didn't have sufficient legal knowledge. It was because he came to realize the providence of the Lord who had made him be born as a Roman citizen, although he was a Jew, after spending 2 years of his life in the prison at Caesarea. This was the providence of the Lord to safely lead Paul, a Roman citizen, to Rome through the appeal of the emperor. In the situation where the band of Jewish assassins were out to get his life, the safest way for Paul to travel to Rome, which was 2,240 kilometers away, was to make an appeal to the emperor and travel under the protection of the Roman soldiers. Therefore, the 2 years of ropes and imprisonment of Paul that spanned for 2 years was grace among graces. Only the person who is called by God can thank God for events that seem unjust, realizing that they are within the Lord's grace. It is because only such persons live according to God's calculations that are different from the calculations of this world. Proconsul Felix, who accepted Paul's appeal, ordered that Centurion Julius, who was a cohort of Augustine, to escort Paul to Rome. In fall, which was assumed to be in 60 AD, Paul's party got on an Adramyttian ship to depart from Caesarea. Adramyttian ship's final destination was Myra, located in today's Turkey. It was a trading ship that stopped at each port along the coast to load and unload cargoes. But the ship, after passing Sidon, was pushed off its normal course due to a very strong northerly wind to Cyprus. And the ship had to travel along the coastlines of Cyprus. Now, wasn't Cyprus the beginning point of Paul's mission? The Lord had made Paul go through that point of origin once again for the last time as Paul was heading to the final destination of his life, Rome. It was at Cyprus Island that, due to the workings of the Lord, Paul first made his appearance in center stage of history as the Hyperetus and Martus of the Lord. Before such grace of the Lord, Paul abandoned his original name Saul, the byword for great men, and became Paul, the name that means the least of men. He couldn't but remember the grace of the Lord on the ship that had been pushed off to Cyprus Island. The ship, which had been pushed off to Cyprus Island due to a storm, headed to the sea along the northern coast of Cyprus Island. But Acts chapter 27, verse 5 testifies that the ship that Paul was on sailed the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia of Turkey. This is like saying that a ship that started out in Mokpo, heading for Busan, got pushed off by a storm to Jeju Island, and he sailed the sea in front of Wando, island of Jeollanam-do, although it was passing through the sea along the Jeju coastline of Jeju Island. But the reason that the Bible describes the journey in this way means that while the ship that Paul was on sailed along the coast of Cyprus Island, the Lord made Paul think again about the grace that Paul had received at Cilicia and Pamphylia, which were across Cyprus. Now, Paul was born in Cilicia as a diaspora Jew whose native language was Greek, and furthermore as a Roman citizen. If he had not been as such a person, he would not have been called as the Hippuretas and martyrs to the Lord for the Gentiles. And there would have been no way that he could have made an appeal to the emperor and head to Rome under the protection of the soldiers of the Roman Empire. Even before Paul was born, the Lord acted in such mysterious providence in order to use Paul as his instrument. At Pamphylia, there was Perga, at which Mark, the helper during Paul's first mission trip, left the team. Now, Paul went separate ways from Barnabas before the second mission trip, when Barnabas wanted to take Mark along again on the second mission journey. As a result, Paul arrived at Corinth, having passed through Macedonia, and went as far as Corinth. And it was in Corinth that Rome, the capital of the empire, took place, took root in Paul's heart. Paul was born in the Asian continent and lived there confined to that place, but he made his way to the European continent and came to head for Rome, something that he hadn't imagined. And all this was started by Mark leaving the mission team in the middle of the journey, irresponsibly, at Perga of Pamphylia. Without the providence of the Lord, it was something that Paul couldn't even imagine about. And as Paul sailed on the ship, he thought again and again about the mysterious grace of the Lord at Pamphylia and Perga. To believe that the thoughts of God are the same as my thoughts is not faith. In the same way that the sky is above the earth, the thoughts of God are far different from our thoughts. Faith starts from acknowledging this. After Paul got on Alexandrian ship in Myra, the travel conditions did not become better. Now this time, the northeasterly wind began to blow. It took many days to get to Cnidus, which would have usually taken 2 days by ship. And after they got to Cnidus, the storm got worse, and the ship couldn't make any progress at all. The ship was pushed off to Crete and was barely able to call port at Fair Haven, which is in the middle of that island. As Paul's party's journey that started out in Caesarea kept getting disrupted due to severe storms, by the time the Alexandrian ship called port at Fair Haven, the season of restricted travel at Mediterranean Sea had become imminent. Paul warned that further sailing was dangerous, but no one paid any attention to Paul. The owner of the Alexandrian ship, the captain, and the cargo owners all decided that it was better for the ship to be at Phoenix, which was a bigger port, to safeguard their possessions. And with the consent of the centurion, the ship started out for Phoenix. Although the travel restriction period was upon them, the distance between Fairhaven and Phoenix was only 65 kilometers, and the coast of Crete, which spanned about 255 kilometers, would have acted as a windbreaker, so they thought. They optimistically thought that nothing serious would happen during the journey. But didn't they soon become swept up in the deadly Northeaster? They tried to guard their wealth, but rather ended up exhausting their lives in the midst of a deadly gale like fools. Today, too, many people commit the foolishness of gnawing on their lives, which is more precious than anything in the world, in order to guard or increase their wealth. Wisdom is in using whatever is available as means to guard one's one and only life. How is it with each of us? Are we on the side of the foolishness that gnaws on the life for the sake of wealth? Or are we on the side of wisdom of using everything other than life as means for the sake of protecting our lives? The people who were on the Alexandrian ship threw away the cargoes, which were their assets, and even major equipment into the sea so that the ship, which was caught up in the Northeaster, would not overturn. But the strength of the Northeaster showed no sign of receding. People couldn't even tell which direction the ship was being swept to. When thick darkness, in which people couldn't eat or drink, continued for 14 days, people at last lost all expectation of being rescued. They gave up on any hope to live. But when they heard the words of God declared by Paul at that portal of death, they started to recover. And that very night, the sailors detected with their senses from the wind and the reverberation of the waves that they were near a land. They confirmed the depth of the sea and anchored the ship by lowering the sail. This happened at the 14th day. The ship got swept up in a deadly gale. The Lord used Paul, a single person, as a pathway to rescue 275 people who were on board on the Alexandrian ship. Faith is knowing how important one's role is. I can kill all with my desires, or I can save all with the words of God. And needless to say, a Christian must be the latter. When the day broke, one could see an island afar. The Alexandrian ship carefully sailed towards the coast of that island, but the bow of the ship became stuck in a sandbar inside the sea at a point where the two currents came together. At the same time, the rear of the ship started to break apart due to strong waves. It was a critical situation. The centurion made everyone who were on the board of the ship to jump into the ocean and directed those who could swim to swim ashore and those who could not swim to hold on to objects and get to the shore. Paul, who had suffered from illness during the last stage of his life, also jumped into the cold winter Mediterranean Sea and got on shore after fighting the waves with his entire body. They found out after they got on the island that the island was a Malta island. Although The Alexandrian ship that had left Crete Island became swept up in deadly northeaster 14 days, and no one knew where they were headed. Amazingly, the ship had arrived precisely at Malta Island, which was located on the sea passageway to Rome. This was an unfathomable providence of the Lord, which would have been impossible for men to plan. Now, the Paul, who was suffering from various illnesses at his old age, got on shore, but the winter rain was falling, and it was cold as ever. The island residents took pity on Paul, who was shaking all over, and started a fire for him. And Paul, who was warming himself by the fire, threw in a bunch of dry wood to the fire. And at that moment, a poisonous snake, which was in the woods, jumped, surprised by the heat of the fire, and bit Paul's hand and wouldn't let go. Paul shook his hand to drop the snake into the fire. And contrary to the expectation of the island residents, Paul was just fine after being bitten by the snake. This amazing news reached Publius, the number one man on the island. Publius invited Paul's party to stay with him, and Paul cured his father, who was ill with fever and dysentery. And this became an occasion by which Paul came to cure all kinds of sick people on the Malta Island in the name of the Lord. The people on the island not only took care of Paul's parties, meals, and lodging during the 3 months that they spent there, but they also even procured goods that they could use on the ship when they left the island. The Lord took care of Paul's meals and lodging needs when he needed to spend the winter at Malta Island in such an amazing way, although Paul didn't know a single person on the island. At Malta Island, there was another ship with the same name, which was spending winter there. And this ship was a ship that the Lord had prepared ahead of time, even before Paul's feet had touched the Malta Island for his journey in spring. Now, it seems to us that if the Lord had provided Paul in such detail while he was on Malta Island, he would also provide for Paul to arrive at Rome as soon as possible after he left the island. But the Alexandrian ship that left Malta Island after 3 months ended up staying at Syracuse for 3 days. And at Rigium, which was the next stop, they had to wait until the southerly wind, because without the wind, they couldn't sail up the Strait of Messina. The wind only came the day after. At last, Paul arrived at Puteoli, which was the outer port of Rome. And from there, it was 220 kilometers to Rome. Now, we would expect Paul to walk to his life's final destination as soon as he got to Puteoli. But Paul stayed in Puteoli for 7 days. This was because Centurion Julius granted an unusual permission for Paul to spend 7 days with the believers of Puteoli. So the Lord, after Paul left Malta Island, delayed his arrival at Rome for no less than 11 days. That a person has become a master in one area, regardless of what that may be, means that person's experience and wisdom have become deeper. But when a person's experience and wisdom become deeper, usually the person loses the initial intention. The reason that a master ends up undoing the work he has done in his area, and that this is not uncommon, is because the person has lost his initial intention. The Lord, by delaying Paul's arrival at Rome for an additional 11 days, made sure that Paul did not lose his initial intention as he entered Rome again and again. Do we even remember what we had intended to do when we set out? And so, Paul finally arrived at Rome. And this long journey in which we had reviewed the entirety of Paul's life by looking at maps for 5 weeks has now come to an end. Exactly how did Paul ended up in Rome? Was it due to Paul's plans, will, or abilities? Definitely not. From the beginning to the end, the Lord led Paul, who was at Asian continent, to Rome, at the center of the European continent of the Roman Empire. The Lord trained Paul personally. He waited for Paul's depth to increase. Without being in any hurry, step by step, bit by bit, the Lord led Paul towards Rome by his unfathomable means. As a result, Paul, who was called by the Lord in his 20s, arrived at Rome when he entered his 50s, an age which was considered the last stage of one's life at the time. It had taken no less than 30 years for Paul, who was called as Hyperetus and Martyrs of the Lord, to arrive at Rome. During those 30 years, without a day of exception, Paul faithfully responded to the Lord's calling. I have once said that a life of a Christian is a mosaic made up of faithfully made up by faithfully adding a colored piece of paper called today. After Paul was called by the Lord, Paul, every day, without an exception for 30 years, added a piece of colored paper called today, faithfully, to his mosaic of life, according to the leading of the Lord. Even when he had to seclude himself for 13 years at his hometown at a young age without any reason, even in the midst of continuing false accusations of Jews, even in the midst of hardships and ropes in Jerusalem, and even when he was unjustly imprisoned for 2 years at Caesarea, even when his journey was running into delays because of storms, even when he became swept up in deadly northeaster, even when he suffered illnesses throughout his life, Paul faithfully put a piece of colored paper called today in the Lord. As a result, the mosaic of his life at last, after 30 years, transformed into a map of unfathomable grace, a map of unimaginable grace that led Paul to Rome in the Lord. What is always important is today, this moment, right now. It is these moments that add up to 1 year, 30 years, a life. Therefore, a life of a person who regards today or this moment lightly cannot arrive at Rome that the Lord has planned for him, because that person is sure to treat tomorrow lightly as well when it turns into today. Here is the reason why resolve and resolutions must be made today, from this moment, rather than tomorrow. today, this moment, is the very time that is a starting point, a stepping stone to Rome, which the Lord has planned for each of us. Let us all, starting from this very day, this very moment, faithfully add a colored paper called today to each of our mosaic of life. The more faithfully we add colored paper called today, Rome, which the Lord has destined for us, will come nearer, more and more. There is no doubt that the Lord will personally turn the mosaics of our lives into a map of unfathomable grace, a map of unimaginable providence. Let us pray. Thank you for allowing us the special grace of giving us the opportunity to review the entirety of Paul's life through maps during the past 5 weeks. We all desire to live like Paul. Please forgive our spiritual lightness, our anxiousness and arrogance in trying to mimic the mosaics of life that Paul accomplished in 30 years in a short time. Even when we have to seclude ourselves without knowing why at a young age, even when false accusations continue without ceasing, even in the midst of hardships of unjust shackles and imprisonment, even when our life journey keeps running into delays, even when we are swept up in deadly northeaster, even when we suffer from illnesses all our lives, allow us to faithfully add a colored piece of paper called today to the mosaics of our lives by following the words of the Lord every day, all our lives like Paul. Help us not to forget that this very day, today, this very moment will pile up to make up our entire life. Even when 30 years go by, may our initial intentions not change. And so may the mosaic of our lives do not become a map of our ambitions that will one day disappear like water bubbles, but turn into a map of unfathomable grace, a map of unimaginable providence by which each of us head for our Rome. May that map, which is beyond tearing, fading, and wearing out, be used as the Lord's instrument that saves this world. Amen.